Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA. And welcome to our podcast episode number 47, Golden Entertainment and Rocky Gap. This is our August 30th, 2018 podcast, and we're talking to you from beautiful Western Pennsylvania. Hey, today's podcast has several sections, and you know, you might want to jump around and find the one that's most interesting to you, or you can listen to the whole thing. That's the best thing. But we're going to start with the benefits of a late fall visit to Las Vegas. Okay, the benefits of going to Las Vegas, not during the hot summer months of July and August, but waiting until November, late fall. We'll also be talking about easy as 3-2-1. That's our craps talk section, section 2. Playing the 3-2-1 low roller pass line betting system in craps. I'm going to give you the complete details today. Our feature today is the relationship between the gaming company referred to as Golden Entertainment and a gambling and resort venue that we love, the Rocky Gap Casino Resort in Flintstone, Maryland, where, by the way, just a few days ago, yours truly had the biggest slot machine hit of his life. Oh, I can't wait to tell you about that one. And we're going to close out today in Western Pennsylvania right now, actually across the state of Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania casinos are in a big legal battle against the Pennsylvania Lottery. And we'll tell you what that's all about. Okay, stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we'll start with the benefits of a late fall visit to Las Vegas. You know, in talking about a vacation in November to Las Vegas, we're going to give you the weather information on the average daily temperature as far as the high temperature and as far as the low temperature. And of course, throughout the month that changes, so we're going to divide the month into three. November 1st, the average high daily temperature is 74 degrees. The swimming pools are open, and they may be warmer than the air temperature, and that's wonderful. If you're not used to that, that's a wonderful feeling when the water is warmer than the air. Also, the low temperature, the evening temperature, would be 52. So 74 for the average daily high, 52 the average daily low. That's the first week of November. Then if we jump to November 11th or so, the average temperature in the day goes to 70 degrees, so it falls from 74 to 70, and the low temperature falls from 52 to 48. Still beautiful. You know, that's t-shirt weather for most of us, 70 degrees in the day to walk around. And in the night, hey, it might even be sweatshirt weather, but it's still so nice. And by the end of the month, believe it or not, the average daily temperature is still in the 60s. It's 61 degrees, and the low falls to 42, and that would be a sweatshirt kind of night if you want to do it informally. So it's not so bad, is it? And you're actually more mobile and more willing to be mobile in terms of your travel and your time outdoors away from the swimming pool because it's comfortable. That's the key. Very livable temperatures to get outside and don't sweat the sun so much. So that's another reason to go in late fall to Las Vegas, Nevada. And Janie and I are heading out the week of Thanksgiving. We're actually departing Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on Monday, November 19th. And we're not coming back until Tuesday, November 27th. So we're going to be there a while. But our flights from, this is Southwest, were only because I'm considering Thanksgiving, you're thinking, well, you're going to get nailed. Actually, we weren't nailed. We paid $93 more than our flights in July. But let me share some things with you. I won't go to Vegas from anywhere if I'm not flying nonstop. And please don't take offense. But I told you, once you cross into your 50s, life becomes more about convenience. So if I can't fly nonstop, I'm not going. And with Southwest, I pay the upgrade for my wife and I, and that's the early bird check-in, because I want to be in that A group and sit in the front of the plane. And When we booked, the school price is actually going up, but when we booked, that was $15 one way, so that's $30 for two. And on the way back, we're going to pay $30 again. So our costs were increased by $60 in these nonstop flights because of early bird check-in. And what I like about this itinerary, we're leaving Pittsburgh on Monday morning, November 19th, at 6:50 a.m., so right before 7 a.m., we're hoping to take off, which means we will arrive in Las Vegas right before 9 a.m., because we gain those hours, you know, flying toward the west. So that means we can check into our hotel and not waste money, you know, not pay like arriving at 8 o'clock at night and paying for that day, you know, so that's good. We get the whole day there, and we'll tell you how we're not even paying more at the hotel for that kind of check-in. And on the way back, we don't have to worry about extending our stay because of our flight time. You know, if you have a 5 o'clock flight time, you got to worry, like, in your checkout times at 11 a.m., you know, what are you going to do from 11 a.m. till 3:30 to get to the airport? You know, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? We don't have to worry about that because our return flight is leaving Las Vegas at 10:15 a.m., and we'll lose those hours on the way back, and we'll arrive back in Pittsburgh almost at 5:30, 5:25 p.m. So what does it cost us, even though it's Thanksgiving week? Thanksgiving is Thursday, November 22nd. We'll be in Las Vegas Monday, November 19th, a few days before Thanksgiving. Now, when I give you this total, Southwest total, from the Pittsburgh International Airport to the Carnan Airport in Las Vegas, I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you the taxes, the early bird check-in fees, etc. And our flight total was $723.92. $723.92. Those are for two people, nonstops to Las Vegas and back again nonstop with early bird check-in, $723.92. Not too shabby for Thanksgiving week, is it?
Oh, yeah!
Now that's our studio audience there, a little bit excited. Okay, guys, calm down. But the big question is, all right, the airfare is pretty reasonable. What about the rooms? So let's talk about gaming companies. You know, our last episode was referred to as Let's Talk About Comps. And when you're talking about the Las Vegas Strip Hotel and Resorts, those casinos, they're controlled literally by two mega gaming companies. One is Total's Rewards. Total Rewards, of course, is associated with Caesars. And that would be points that you would build up on your, you know, in your cards, your player's card when you were at Caesars, Harrah's, I don't want to miss one, the Cromwell, Bally's, Flamingo, the Link, Paris, and off strip would be Planet Hollywood and the Rio. Those are Caesars properties that come to mind. The M Life properties going up one side of the strip, the Mandalay Bay, Delano, Las Vegas, the Luxor, the Excalibur, New York, New York. Of course, now the renovated Park MGM, the Aria, the Vidora at the Aria, the MGM Grand, the Signature at the MGM Grand, the Bellagio, the Mirage, and Circus Circus. So it's hard to find a strip hotel that's not associated with either M Life or Total Rewards. And in my trips to Las Vegas, you know, I gamble in houses on either side, you know, M Life casinos and Total Rewards casinos. And so I build up points which can lead to room comps on either side. And of course, you know, I go online and I check in with my player's card, and I have the mobile app on my phone for both of these. And I normally don't make a reservation online. What I'll do is I'll call the number because, you know, again, I have a lot of demands that I make, whether they fall on deaf ears or not, you know, is another thing. So I like to talk to a person, make sure I'm going to get what I want. Well, anyway, the best I could do, just checking online, in September and October is two nights for M Life properties, and that's not the best of them, but, you know, just the middle of the road kind of property, and two nights for Total Rewards. So that means that I'd be paying for four nights, and I couldn't get anything over the weekend from either company, so September or October would have been very costly. Whenever you have to stay on a Friday night and Saturday night, or whether you want to stay on a Friday or Saturday night, if you're not being comped, it's expensive on weekends, you know, anywhere. But Las Vegas raises the rates from Sunday through Thursday compared to the ones on the weekend, or much more. So now I'm going to jump to November, because I know that's when we're going to be there. I'm hoping, oh my goodness, you know, I hope it gets better. It got so much better. Can't believe it. Okay, it got so much better. So I go to Total Rewards first. I see there's a calendar. Every night, comped. Pick four. I had four nights comped in November, Total Rewards. And for me, that's going to be Bally's. Four nights. Oh, looking good. And then I check M Life. Same thing, September and October, just two nights and not weekend nights. November, any night, weekend nights, four nights. And I'm thinking, wait a second, four plus four is eight. That's all I need. That's all I need. I can get free rooms the entire trip. So, again, I go back and I call the Total Rewards person, you know, the reservation people. And of course, they want your player's card and go through that and identify yourself and, you know, your name and address and all that. And I tell them I want a king strip view at Bally's with a coffee maker, Jubilee Tower, which I know that's going to be the better tower, and I want it free. And he says, well, it says here, I look at your comp play, that you have four nights free. And I said, oh, so I'm going to be there. Probably I get in at around 9. I probably get to the hotel after we get our bags and all. 10:30, 11. He goes, oh, well, since you're comped, we can put you in and just we'll take care early check-in. There's no charge for that. So you got your four nights. So that's November 19th, 20th, 21, and 22. That's Thanksgiving Day. And so the next morning, I'll have to leave. I know we'll be having Thanksgiving dinner with our daughter Jill and family, but the next day, we're not going home. We got four more nights. So I call M Life and I talk to the Luxor. I said, look, I want to stay at the Luxor Tower, and I want a refrigerator, and a wet bar would be nice. And she says, oh yeah, we can put you in the elite room in the tower, which truthfully the rooms are newer there and nicer than the ones in the pyramid. And she said, I see here, you're comped, which I knew. And but I didn't know about the, she goes, well, I'll get you a wet bar with the fridge and the sink and the coffee maker, and you're off and running. And, you know, it would be a king. That's fine. That's what we wanted. Non-smoking, of course. So believe it or not, by going to Las Vegas in November, we're literally paying more for little Oliver, our doggie, to stay in the kennel. And he has two rooms. His rooms are connected because he doesn't like to just have one room. He wants like an upgrade. We're paying $25 a day to put Oliver in a two-room little suite at the Pup Brewery where he stays. And it's a beautiful place and clean, and he's walked every day, and you can call, they take pictures and send them to you on your phone, and it's wonderful. And my wife can call and check on him and ask questions about how he's eating and all that. We're actually paying more for Oliver than we are for our rooms in Las Vegas. And the truth of it is that we did have to pay for the early bird check-in at the Luxor, which was $30. That's fine, because we'll be going there The day after Thanksgiving, which, of course, is a Friday, and, of course, that's Black Friday, so the place will be jumping with shoppers. You know, they have a lot of stores on this ship, and they buy into that Black Friday thing. And we're checking in. It'll be sometime. They'll flag you when your room is ready by email or text. You decide. And it's usually ready around 11 a.m. So we'll be checking out of Bally's and Uber it over to the Luxor and check into our rooms. And they're covered for Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and Monday night. And we're coming home on Tuesday morning, leaving Las Vegas, as I mentioned, a little bit after 10. Isn't that something? So I'm going to encourage you to think about going to Las Vegas in November. The temperatures still are great. A lot of the hotels keep their pools open until Thanksgiving. You can just call the hotel and ask them. They'll tell you. And some actually don't close till after Thanksgiving, but that's a little chancy there. But we're not so concerned about the pools because we're well aware that we're not going there to swim this time. Like, you would have to do that in July and August, or else you just melt. But we're going there to be more mobile. We're going to check out a lot of things. Again, we're going to take a look at some places that we might rent condos for a month or so come January, February, or we might look at some real estate that my wife's talking about in terms of investing for retirement. So either way, it's much easier to move around. And if you heard her last podcast, she'll want to rent a car for the weekends because cabs are just, and Ubers are just terrible to wait in line, you know, on Friday night or Saturday night. So we'll rent a car for a couple of days there for sure. So that's it. Why not? This November, let's see you walking up and down the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. And now just a short break, and we're moving on to Craps Talk 3, 2, 1. We'll be right back. So most of us are low rollers, you know, we're not putting up the mortgage and the car payment, you know, when we're placing bets in Las Vegas. We're not putting away the kids' tuition money or our 403B or 401 or whatever, you know. We're playing with discretionary income, and no shame in being a low roller. But is there a system in craps if you're a pass line player? And, you know, the majority of people who play craps are basically pass line players. So is there a system that you can be consistent with when you're playing and yet still is a low roller and has a good mathematical chance of you being successful? And of course there is, and I'm going to talk to you about the 3-2-1. One of the box men at the craps table in Rocky Gap last week actually mentioned to me, hey, that's that 3-2-1 system. I said, yeah. I said, have you seen it before? He goes, oh, yeah. I came here from Las Vegas, Rocky Gap's in Maryland. And, you know, he obviously left Las Vegas for this job. So, yeah, we were talking about it. And I love playing a 3-2-1 low roller when I'm playing pass line. So you put the minimum amount. We're going to be at a $5 table. But just remember, you're going to take the same math at a $10 or $15 table. So at a $5 table, on a come-out roll, there's no point established. The pucks are over to the side of the numbers, and somebody rolls a number. And, of course, if they roll a 7 or 11, the pass line wins. If they roll a 2, 3, or 12, the pass line loses. And we're talking about hedging at all. We're on a pass line for $5. So you know that if you're a craps player, even if you're a beginning craps player. You win on a 7 or 11 on the come-out roll on a pass line. You lose on a craps number. The craps numbers are 2, 3, and 12. Okay, well, the point numbers are 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. And, of course, somebody rolls a number. Let's say roll an 8. Now, that becomes the established point. So the dealers moved the puck, which was black, to the top of the 8 and turn it over, and the puck is white. And that's the established point. And so now that 7 from the pass line on the come-out, which won, will now beat you. You have to roll an 8 to win. If you roll a 7, you lose, and the game starts over. And that's the simplest explanation I can make for the game in craps. Complicated board, but pretty simple game. You have to roll the established point number, or have somebody has to roll it if you're on the pass line, before they throw a seven, or the pass line players will lose. But what about the odds bet behind the pass line? And those are the bets that are important because they pay true odds in terms of what you get. You know, so on the odds bet behind the pass line, it's one of the few bets in Las Vegas where the casino has no advantage. They're actually paying you what they should pay if you win. Not saying that you'll have an edge on them because you don't. It's kind of a 50-50 proposition. They're going to pay you what you should win, you know, without taking away something for themselves. All right. So what do you put behind the $5 bet on the pass line if the established point is 6 or 8? Well, that's where the 3 comes in. 3 times 5 is 15. You're going to put $15 behind the pass line. And that goes right in that green space right behind the pass line. There's no designated area that says odds bet, and the dealers don't do it, so it's player initiated. You just pick up your chips. In this case, it'll be $3 $5 chips, and put them behind your $5 on the pass line. So now you have $20 invested. And to play the 3-2-1 the way we'd like you to play it is you now place the 5, the 6, and the 9. Those are the inside numbers because the 8's already been established. That's you're playing from the pass line. So you have $16 involved, a $5 5, a $5 9, and a $6 6. And you already have $20 on the pass line, so you really have $36 at risk. So if you can get 3 hits, the minimum bet on the 5, the 6, and the 9, they all pay $7 to the winner. You have a $5 5, a $6 6. You have to place the 6 and 8 in $6 increments, and a $5 9. If you can get 3 hits, you would have won $21, and then you go off, and now you can't lose because you have $20 involved on the with the pass line bet. You have $5 on the pass line and $15 behind it. So when you go off on your place bets now, you're totally secure because if you or the shooter throws a 7, you're still going to win a dollar. And, you know, the 6 and 8, there's more ways to make a 6 or 8 than any other point number, so you have a good chance. So let's talk about if the point number was 5 or 9. So in the come-out roll, if somebody throws a 5 or a 9, that's where the 2 comes in. You put $10 behind it, and then you make those same bets. You know, you're going to make a bet. If it's not a point number, you make a bet on the 5, the 6, the 8, and let's say a 9 is the point. Okay, so you have your, let's see, now you have $17 involved. And if you get 2 hits, that's $14. But wait a second. You have $15 on the pass line. So let's go 3 hits. If you get $21, take your place bets off again. And again, you're secure because you have $5 on the pass line and $10 behind it. Remember, on a 5 or 9, you take 2 times your pass line bet, which is 10, you have $15 involved. So when you already won $21, you take your pass line bets off. You just tell the dealer, take me off. And they put an off chip, which means if a 7 is rolled, you get that money back. But you can keep playing without fear because you're going to win $6 or you're going to win the pass line with the odds bet. There you go. You see what I mean? You're protected. And just to finish out, what's that 3-2-1? If the established point on the come-out roll is a 4 or a 10, you put 1 chip behind it. So you match it. So on a $5 table, that'll be 1 chip. So you have $10 invested. So you do that 22 inside thing. That's $22 bet inside. That's $5 on a 5, $6 on a 6, $6 on an 8, and $5 on a 9. If you just get 2 hits, that's $14. You tell the dealer to take your place bets off, puts the button, or she puts the button on your bets. They're now off. And so either you're going to win, someone's going to roll a 4 if that was a number, or a 10 if that was a number, and you're going to win. Or if they don't enroll a 7, you still won $4 because you lost $10. You had a $5 pass line bet and $5 behind it. And you won $14 on place bets before you went off. So what the slow roller system does is give you some protection from a table where people aren't making their points so much, but they are throwing numbers, but just not the points so much. What if it was a $10 table? Well, if it's a $10 table, then you just do the same thing. So you have $10 on the table, so you put $30 behind it if it's a 6 or an 8. If the number, the established point is a 5 or a 9, you put 2 times 10 or $20 behind it. And if the established point is a 4 or a 10, you put 1 times 10 is 10. And just do the same math with the 15. So you can, this system is a low roller system. It's great for a $5 table. It's okay for a $10 table. And it's even okay for a $15 table. And what it does, it keeps you around more than anything else. It keeps you around for a time when the table gets really red hot. And you can bet more odds if you like to at that time. And that's what I would do. And you can make bigger place bets if you'd like at that time too. But it keeps you in the game and protects you from one of those tables where people are rolling numbers, they're just not rolling points. And we call it the 3-2-1, and I'll talk about it more and more because I believe in it so much. At Rocky Gap Casino last week, I won a little bit over $300 in 2 days of craps. Playing the 3-2-1, I felt secure the entire time. And this is what I want to tell you about. You know, I felt secure, I felt happy, I was content. I wasn't putting money out there that I couldn't afford to lose. My risk tolerance was low roller, and it was fun. And I enjoyed it. And I looked smart. A lot of times, you know, when I would take my place bets off, the dealer would say, oh, I know what you're doing. And then a roll or two later, bang, 7. I would have lost everything, the $22 plus the point money and the odds behind it. But I only lost the pass line and the odds behind it because I already won enough from the place bets to protect it. So you have to be willing to take your place bets off once you go a little bit past what you have in terms of the pass line and the odds bet. We call it the 3-2-1. Try it, enjoy it, get back to me. An ice cold table will beat you, of course, but if it's just a moderately warm table where people are rolling the dice 6 or 7 times before they 7 out, it's going to protect you and put you a little bit ahead. Okay, give it a try. All right, we're going to move into part 3. And part 3 is the Golden Entertainment Rocky Gap Casino Resort Connection. And we're going to give you our trip report from Flintstone, Maryland, at probably the most beautiful casino venue in the United States. And we're going to ask you to go on Facebook, join our Facebook group at Casinos USA, written as two words, to see photographs, or check out our website and go to the photo section, our photo page, and you'll find Rocky Gap. Rocky Gap. Our webpage is www.casinosusa.bet. casinosusa.bet. BET. In either location, you're going to see the most beautiful pictures of a casino resort anywhere. So check it out. We'll give you the facts on Rocky Gap. We're coming back right after our legendary island music. So welcome my partner Janie to the studio.
Hi, this is Jane.
I know you know a little bit about Golden Entertainment. That's the gaming company at Rocky Gap Casino Resort. So why don't you tell us about it?
Okay. Well, Golden Gaming was the company and decided to merge with Lakes Entertainment. And this merger was completed in August of 2015, and that established Golden Entertainment, which now does own the Rocky Gap Resort Casino. They also have a lot of other properties in Nevada. They have Gold Town Casino and Lakeside Hotel and Casino and Pahrump Nugget Hotel and Gambling Hall, all in Pahrump, Nevada, which isn't too far from Las Vegas. They owned the Stratosphere, which is probably the most popular casino resort. Arizona Charlie's in Boulder, Arizona Charlie's Decatur, but all three of those are really in Las Vegas. They also own Aquarius Casino Resort in Laughlin, Nevada. And they also just agreed in July of this year to buy the Colorado Bell and Edgewood Casinos that are also in Laughlin, Nevada. That's not very far at all from Las Vegas. It happens to be around a lake. And what I've been told by a lot of people, because of many times as we've been to Las Vegas, we've never gone to Laughlin. But I do know people that have gone there, and they said if you like a more old-fashioned type casino experience, that would be Laughlin. Now, I'm not exactly sure what they mean by that, and I know that they have probably, the casinos there have probably been updated anyway, so I don't know how accurate that is.
Well, you mentioned the Stratosphere, and that's probably their best-known casino, one of the most popular ones that they own. But the Stratosphere just announced, what did they announce?
They're going to have at least $140 million renovation there. So we would be looking forward to that. That is one of the casinos, the resorts that we have stayed in. And they had several pools. That was our first experience with a rooftop pool, which we enjoyed, actually. They also had a laundry facility that we like to use right on site. And I also might want to mention in the last podcast, I talked about why you might want to go to the Stratosphere when you're in Las Vegas. And what I neglected to mention was the top of the world type restaurant that's at the top of the Stratosphere. When you go up there, when you take the elevator and go up there to look at the rides or actually use the international thrill rides, there's a restaurant up there that has very good food at a reasonable price, and especially at lunchtime. But you get a great view either during the day or you can go in the evening. My advice would be to try to get one where you're there as the sun's setting and you see the daylight views and the evening views. But I think it's well worth a trip to there.
Well, Golden Entertainment seems to be healthy and they keep expanding. So that's not an issue at Rocky Gap. They obviously are doing a good job there. We'll talk about maybe some of the things they can work on. But nonetheless, I think you agree with me. They're okay as a gaming company.
Well, yes, I like them as a gaming company, but the thing I like best, and I think most people really like about Rocky Gap, is that it's just a beautiful, beautiful setting. You can't help but just be overtaken by the beauty of it when you're there. And even if you're in there in the depths of winter, the lake is sparkling, and there are people fishing on it then. The forest has a lot of evergreen, so there's still a lot of greenery there.
I don't know if it works for people in Colorado, but Rocky Gap reminds me of the John Denver song, you know, that about the clear mountain lake, because that lake is just so clear. We were on their White Sand Beach, which of course it's a state park, and Sam was brought in, and hey, I was up to my neck. I could look down and see my feet. That's how clear it is.
Right, and that's one of the features that both our grandchildren love. They didn't mind going underwater. They said they didn't have to wear their goggles because the water was so clear that they just enjoyed that.
Well, a couple hours in the beach and then another hour or so in their indoor pool, which is nice.
Right, that gives them several swimming options. If you do happen to be there and it's a rainy, really overcast day, you can always, and in the when it's too cold to use the beaches, you can use their indoor pool, which is nice. And I would say that they keep the room temperature very comfortable and the water temperature, which we've found that a lot of indoor pools in hotels don't have that.
And when it's nice weather, it's an expandable roof. It opens and closes, and the roof opens,
right,
too. So that's another feature that's special.
Right. The roof opens, and also the doors open. The doors open. You can go outside. You can sit. If you're swimming in the evening, you can go out and sit by the fire pits. You can actually sit there in the day, too, if it's a little bit chilly out there, a little bit windy. And then the Signature's restaurant is right beside it, too. You can just walk with your swimsuits, put a towel on or your cover-ups, and go in there and eat. And that's especially good when you have children.
I think we have to say, of the restaurants they have there, that's kid-friendly.
It's very kid-friendly, mainly because the side doors, all the doors open, and they can go out and sit on the grass or play in the grass or sit in the chairs by the fire pits. And you can even walk down to the lake while you, with someone while you're waiting for your food. So there's never an issue there with children.
Well, this part's not kid-friendly, but they do have an outdoor bar, too. That's not for kids, of course. But, no, that really, it's unbelievable, the venue, any time of the year, I agree. But particularly for me, it's the fall of the year when the Maryland leaves and those mountains are changing. It's just beautiful.
I might add, too, that they've also changed the lobby configuration. They had a little poker room there, a poker area. It was walled, kind of half walled off, where they had poker tables and they had games there, but not nearly very, I mean, not often. So they took those out and they put a few sofas in, and they have a host's desk there. So so many people were using it in the mornings, having their coffee, reading USA Today. It was it's a nicer venue. It leaves a lot more room there.
And they have a little coffee shop snack center there, too, which is another feature.
Well, they do, and that's where you can get the coffee and walk over or make it in your room. They have nice coffee machines, I will say, in their rooms.
Oh, speaking of rooms, they remodeled certain floors. We were on a remodeled floor. I mean, I thought the remodeling job was very well done.
Oh, it is. They updated everything. Very nice, very clean, very comfortable. But I'll go back to the coffee machines. They're the nice coffee machines. We know this. So when we know we're going to a hotel that has that, we take a little half and half creamer with us, because I don't like powdered creamers.
That's your high standard there.
Well, there, but it very good though. You can have a great cup of coffee when you first get up.
I wanted to mention too, like, you know, it's a beautiful place to walk. They also have boat rentals. I have it real quick here. Canoes for $15 an hour. Kayaks, $15 an hour. Double kayaks, that's $25 an hour. YOLO paddle boards, a lot of those are on the lake, huh? That's just $20 an hour. And you can get the old pedal pontoon boats for $30 an hour. They also, you can rent fishing equipment there. You do need a Maryland fishing license. It is a state park. And it's $15 for 2 hours. And if you fish longer, it's $5. So, you know, it's family, kid-friendly. It's not just about gambling. But in terms of gambling, I got to tell a story, Janie, about a slot machine.
Oh, yes, you do.
All right, so we had a great day with our grandchildren. But, you know, at the end of the day, after dinner, they went home again. And we heard from their parents that they loved their day at Rocky Gap. And I won a little bit in craps playing the 3-2-1, which we'll talk about. We talked about in the podcast today. But also, I played some video poker, and I kept a voucher. I had $12 left over. I didn't cash, just kept it in my wallet. So after breakfast the next morning, we walk into the casino, and as you just walk straight through the door, there's a large progressive Monte Carlo Royal machine, you know, one of those like 7-8 feet high. And Janie was with me, and I said, I'm going to use the voucher, because the progressive prize was $58,000, although we know of someone who won $1 million there. But you know, she said, save your money, right?
Yes, I did. I said it was going to be a waste. That was two pools on there.
Yeah, it's $5 a crank. Yeah, but I had the first pool, nothing. The second pool, bang. The top starts to spin, and it ended at $500. So she had to eat her words there. That was good. But the other thing that's nice about this venue for craps players is they have a $5 table, which is $5 all the time. So that's important for a lot of people who enjoy craps at that level. So we're going to give them a real strong rating for all the things that we talked about. But, Janie, there's a couple of things that they have to get better at. Where do you want to start? You want about the dining manager you met?
Well, I did meet the food, one of the dining managers. I think there's one on each shift, three shifts, but she is the main manager. And it was a good service. She was walking around to all the buffet tables and, you know, asking how was it. And of course, my answer was adequate, because I feel that was all it was, is adequate. And I've said this before. It's not a spectacular buffet. It is adequate. It has your basics. And they do make omelets for you on the side, but the person making them always seems so stressed, and it's a very slow process at that one. So, and there are a few other things I didn't care for there. So We told her, and she just said, okay, she would take that into consideration. But the venue, the atmosphere there is beautiful. It has a whole wall of windows, looks right out onto the, you know, the lake and the forest. It's a very nice, comfortable room.
And what's the restaurant next door that we love with the crab cakes?
LB's,
yeah.
Yeah, they have a nicer, they're a more upscale type restaurant, and the food there is excellent. I think anything you would get would be, you would enjoy it very much. Their crab cakes are ranked in some of the gourmet magazines as being excellent there.
The other one, Signatures, it's kind of like a sports bar.
Right, it's a sports bar inside. It's, you know, the one we talked about on the grounds and right beside the pool on the outside. Very kid-friendly and very, you know, they have the nachos.
I like their pizza.
Yeah, their pizza is very good. They have the pizza, the nachos. They have a fish dish. It's excellent, and our grandson always gets it. They don't have children's portions, so he gets the adult portion and finishes it all, and he's only 10.
Yeah.
And the fussy eater, who's 5, does very well, too.
Well, there's two things I have to say, and it's all because they don't in-service you well when you check in. And one is the elevator. And I know you experienced this, too. Do you want to explain the elevator issue?
Well, because of security, and this is, you know, maybe we're just seeing this, but because of security concerns, so many hotels now, to go up floors, you have to put your card in and push that key. But it's fairly new there, and they haven't told people that. Now, we knew that, so we knew what to do, but every time I have ever been in the elevator with other people who haven't been there, they ask me what they're supposed to do. You know, how do they can't get up. The elevator won't move, so we show them.
Yeah, but it seems like it happens all the time where someone doesn't say, what's wrong with this elevator? Then you have to show them. But even to me, this is a more serious one. I actually called their business manager. They don't tell people when you check in that when you check out and, you know, pay the bill and square up, if you're getting comp, now it wouldn't apply, but if you're paying something for your room, you don't get the points for the room unless you mention that you want the points and pull out your player's card.
I would also say they do this for the restaurants too. We were fortunate that our waiter was very good, and he said to us, you know, you have to get the points for this meal. I need to see your card, and we have to go check it in. And I said, you're serious? He said, yes. He said, that's the only way you'll get points for this. But well, the waiter had to tell us.
I got the brochure from the Players Club, and they do mention it, but that's the only time you hear it. It's mentioned in the fine print in a Players Club brochure. And one of the financial people that I spoke to on the telephone said, you're right about the hotel rooms. That should be automatic. And I said, well, you got to do something about it. So, you know, I'll stay with that every time I get a chance to talk to somebody who's in the administration there, that's just not fair. You know, like, we have friends. And then my position is, I don't want to tell people. Like, you know, if someone says, I'm checking out, and they just throw their room key down, I don't want to say to them, hey, it's not my job to say to them, hey, did you give them your player's card for your room points? But you kind of feel like these people are getting cheated because they don't know. So those are the only complaints I have. Otherwise, I'm going to give this a 5-star recommendation. You're not?
No, I'd have to say they just get 4 because of that, because of these couple incidents.
Okay.
And I have asked them over and over to have oatmeal at the breakfast buffet, and they haven't done it yet.
All right, well, I'll give them 4.5.
Okay,
then.
Well, 4.5. Maybe I would give 4.5, too. But I do have a correction from the podcast last time. I said there was a shuttle from the Rio and Harrah's, and there used to be, but it stopped, I found out, about a year ago. I mean, it's been that long since we've stayed at the Rio, which used to be a real regular of ours. So there isn't a shuttle now. So I stand corrected.
Okay, one more thing about Rocky Gap before we go to the final section of our podcast today. Most gaming companies don't reveal this. Like, how do you get comped in table games? Well, you have to play an hour to get comped. And we're talking about roulette, blackjack, craps, and three-card poker. And if you have a $10 average bet for an hour, you get 90 points in craps or 90 points in blackjack. And so if it's 20, you just double it. They're just making an estimate of your average bet for that hour, and they're going to give you the points. You get more points in roulette and three-card poker because those games have a higher house edge. They give you 150 points in roulette and three-card poker for a $10 minimum bet over the course of an hour. But remember, if you just gamble 40 minutes and walk away, you're not getting any points. So at least they're telling you in print that's going to happen. Hey, Janie, well, thanks for your contribution, Dave. Always appreciate it.
Okay, everybody. Enjoy your trips to your favorite casinos.
Just a very short break, and we're right back for part four. As you remember, legalized gambling came to Nevada, to Las Vegas, in 1936. Well, in most states, state lotteries existed before casinos were legalized. Nevada would be the exception. And now what's happened in Pennsylvania, the iLottery system, the state lottery system, is putting on games that mimic slot machines. And in fact, these games are legal to be played by individuals who are 18. Well, the casinos are going crazy because you can imagine. You can't gamble at a casino until you're 21. And it's almost as if you're gambling on an online slot machine. So they are suing the state of Pennsylvania. They want these games taken off. The lawsuit says that state law allows the revenue department to run internet instant games, but prohibits simulated casino-style lottery games, including slots, poker, blackjack, and roulette. But the iLottery authorization, the casino said, permits online lottery products. So they're saying, hey, this isn't fair. You know, they spent millions for their licenses, millions and millions for those licenses, and now the state of Pennsylvania is kind of muscling in because the state lottery was here first. So this may be happening in your state, and we'll keep you informed to which one, the casinos, the casino lobby, or the state lottery, which one's going to win this lawsuit. We'll be back to you on that. So remember, Casinos USA is a place where every day is Saturday. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what we do. See you in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening.